Welcome to News in Focus with your host, Chris Long, president of the Ohio Christian Alliance. Stay tuned for an analysis and conversation about the issues that matter most to you and your family. Here now with this week's edition of News in Focus is Chris Long.
And good evening and welcome to this edition of News in Focus. And tonight is our roundtable discussion, what had been the war on coal, but the tide has turned in Washington with a new administration and a new policy for energy going forward in this country. We're going to go right to a news clip from Fox News, and then we're going to introduce our guest for today's program. Let's go to that clip.
Welcome back. Mining companies are hiring new workers as the coal industry looks to make a comeback under the Trump administration. Senior correspondent Mike Tobin reporting live for us from Hazard, Kentucky. How you doing, Mike?
Good, Heather. And behind me is the E41 mine, part of Perry County Coal. It was shut down during the Obama years. If you hear all that background noise, that's because this mine is up and running again. And the people out here in coal country make no bones about it. A new president with a new attitude toward coal means new jobs. Carlos Sturtle is a career Kentucky coal miner. He's doing something he hasn't done in 3 years. He's mining coal.
I'm glad I'll be working. I'm thankful that I got a job again.
A bounce in the economy created a demand for steel. You need coal to make it. An adversary to coal moved out of the White House and a president moved in who started rolling back regulations that crippled mining. It's not a storybook ending for the coal miners. Here at the Perry County Mine, since 2012, they've laid off 460 guys. In the last 2 months, they've hired back 90. As technology advances, equipment becomes more efficient, requiring less manpower. In the Obama years, some coal-fired power plants either shut down or built infrastructure to burn natural gas. That put coal in competition with fracking and cheap fossil fuel.
Even though that coal is coming back and there will be employment in the future, but whether it will not, unlikely to come, to go back to where it was 10, 15 years ago.
Retail business people in little coal towns like Hazard, Kentucky are happy for any comeback, but know they'll never come all the way back.
When they started doing all the layoffs, my business went down tremendously.
Now the question is, are the new jobs related to something tangible the president has done, like rolling back the regulations, or a sense of optimism because instead of an adversary in the White House, they have a coal proponent there? Well, the people we spoke to, from the university experts to miners to people in the center of the town, say it's all about the optimism. Heather?
Yeah, either way, more jobs, better for everyone. Thank you so much, Mike.
Okay, and that was a recent report by Fox News and the progress that coal is making on the way back. And here to talk with us about it is Mr. Murray of Murray Energy. Also on the phone is Congressman Bill Johnson of Ohio's 6th District. That's coal country. Of course, the national spokesman for the 60-plus Association, Mr. Pat Boone, and Jim Martin, the chairman of 60-plus. Gentlemen, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Chris.
Thanks, Chris. Good to be here.
Well, it's good to have you gentlemen back. And, of course, that actually was great news, Mr. Murray, to hear that the wheels are turning once again down in coal country and they're employing coal miners once again. It was it really is an encouragement of what we've seen over the last number of years. And even as the report indicated, there was an enemy of coal in the White House for the last 8 years, and that was Mr. Barack Obama. But now we seem to have a friend in the White House. Your thoughts?
Well, we do have a friend in the White House to the working men and women of America, not just in the coal industry, but in every other endeavor in America. He is a friend of the working people. He has turned his back on the radical liberal elitists, on the environmental radicals, on the Hollywood characters, and has taken up the mantle of these working people in America. So it's just not about coal. As far as the actions that have been taking place so far, we have had the stream protection rule overturned. Congressman Bill Johnson on this call led the way in the Congress to get that overturned. We got under the Continuing Resolution Act. It's only been used one time since the act was passed in 1996. Got a bill in the House and Senate, and I was pleased to be with Bill in the White House in the Oval Office when the president signed that bill out of law. There's no question that Barack Obama has been the greatest destroyer that America has ever seen. But you got to remember, the Democrats are the ones that have backed him. Unfortunately, this is not about politics, as the Democrats delay the Trump administration's getting into office. It's a deliberate attempt to keep Obama in power, even though the voters have said we don't want any more of Obama or Hillary Clinton, but we have them because the Democrats are delaying the transition and approving these appointments. As a result, there's more optimism here than results. There's only been the one bill.
Right.
That has been overturned. So we are optimistic, but I am outraged that the Democrats in this country would deliberately destroy the vote of the American people when they want to change.
Well, and that's what we're going to keep on pressing forward with. It's time to govern, and that's what we're encouraging the president and his administration to do. I know we only have with us on the phone for a little bit. We're going to be on for the full hour, folks, so stay tuned because we got a lot of information to cover. But Mr. Pat Boone is the national spokesman of the 60 Plus Association. Pat, this must warm your heart to hear that report out of Kentucky and those coal miners getting back to work. Your thoughts?
I tell you, I have been shouting, Hosanna, Hallelujah. You know, our national motto is One Nation Under God. And I've talked about this with you guys before, but I really believe that there is an America, the United States of America, because of the Constitution that was based on the Bible, the Old and New Testaments, and our founders consciously and deliberately use that as the basis for this fabulous document we call the Constitution.
Yes.
And I know that we were meant to be a nation under God. Now, God put coal in the ground. We didn't invent it. In fact, it took thousands of years to be created in the ground for a purpose. Now, God knows that we've been using that and it has blessed all humanity, actually. Sure, there's been some pollution, but that blows away, and it's not nearly the problem in most cases that folks try to make it, environmentalists. However, it was there for a purpose, and it continues to serve its purpose, heating and energizing and making our economy go. And thank God again, we have a businessman in the White House, the first time ever, and a man like Bob Murray, who knows how a business has to be run. He knows you have to make some concessions, you have to negotiate, but you have to push forward and you have to keep working with what you have and make the best of any situation. Now we have a man in the White House who understands all of that and who has committed himself to supporting the use of coal and, of course, making it more and more clean. But to hear the sound at the beginning of this program of those good people going back to work and doing things this country needs to keep on existing is thrilling to me. And I'm honestly thanking God not only for the outcome of the election, but for Bob Murray, who helped it happen more than most people have any idea. Bob helped fund the robocalls that Jim Martin and I did supporting the candidates in the last week of the election, leading up to the election. Nobody thought Trump could win.
Right.
But in the five battleground states of Ohio, of Michigan, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, and North Carolina, I think they were, the five states, we did 3 million robocalls to seniors and to Christians who databases showed probably were not planning to vote. And we really put the pressure on folks to do their civic and Christian duty.
Yes.
And that is to vote righteous leaders. I'll conclude with this one remark. One of my favorite scriptures is Ecclesiastes 10:2. Ecclesiastes was probably written mainly by the wisest man except for Jesus who ever lived, Solomon, and distilling all of his wisdom. In that 10th chapter of Ecclesiastes, second verse, he says, The mind of the wise inclines to the right, the mind of the fool to the left. And when I've quoted that, my wife Shirley always quickly says, that's not Republican. I know it's not. It is the mind of the wise inclines toward that which is right, that which is righteous, and the mind of the fool to whatever's left. And we now have, we've heard the voice of the American people, and largely a lot of it has to do with what Bob Murray sacrificially did to help us make those robocalls in those five states that on election night kept adding up and going toward Trump when nobody thought it was possible. And Jim Martin and I hope that those calls that Bob Murray made possible were very instrumental in tipping the scale and giving America what we desperately need and what millions of us have prayed for.
Yes. Well said, Pat. And listen, I know our mutual friend and your pastor, Jack Hayford, lost his dear wife recently. Yeah. Would you send him our love from Ohio and you let him know that he's in our thoughts and prayers at this time and his entire family?
I sure will. And of course, he knows and we all know that his precious Anna has just gone before him. She's in the bosom of the Savior and waiting for Jack when his time comes.
Yes.
And that's what Shirley and I are banking on as well.
Well, thank you, and you send our love to them. God bless you, my friend.
Well,
well said, Pat, and that's what made the difference is the people that stepped up and made a difference in this election. Congressman Johnson, this is a busy day in Washington. Thank you for taking time to join us on the phone. It was did our hearts warm to see you in the Oval Office with Mr. Murray and the whole team and those coal miners with the hard hats on surrounding our new president, Mr. Trump, just a few weeks ago. Tell us about that.
Well, that was a long day coming, Chris, and I am so grateful that that Mr. Murray was able to be there with members of his team, and those hardworking coal miners were able to participate in that celebration because it really was a celebration. And I want to make something very clear to your audience, to our listening audience, Chris, because we're getting some blowback because of the misinformation about what the stream protection rule actually was. And I want to make sure that folks understand that there was nothing about that that stream protection rule that was designed to protect streams.
No.
It was all about shutting down and putting the death knell in the coffin of the coal industry.
That's right.
Had they been seriously concerned with the protection of streams, they would have listened long before and engaged with the states, because states do about 97% of the regulating of coal in the first place, both production and use. And in addition to that, you've got laws at both the federal and the state level that prevent coal companies from dumping material into streams. Now, I know Bob Murray personally. And I've been to his facilities, and I've been down inside of his mines, and I can tell you that that's not the way coal operators operate today.
That's right.
And they don't do that kind of thing. And so anybody that thinks that we overturned a rule that was keeping our streams and tributaries clean from coal residue, it's just absolutely not true. It's a move by the environmentalists on the left to try to discredit what we did. That's why they named it the Stream Protection Rule, because they knew if we ever overturned it, this is the way that they would go about trying to discredit the move. But I'm glad we got it done, and I'm very thankful that Mr. Murray was able to be there as part of the celebration.
Well, that's right. And I was listening to a recent interview of Senator Jim Inhofe, who has been fighting this battle for some time, Senator of Oklahoma. And he was talking about the, again, here's one of those euphemism names, Clean Air Act, which basically is cap and trade. They don't want to call it that, but basically it's cap and trade by any other name. And in fact, what that was defeated in Congress, and this country rejected the proposals of cap and trade, which would have really just handcuffed this country from doing what we do best, and that is producing and moving forward. And yet the Obama administration, for all intents and purposes, was by executive order, was imposing cap and trade during the Obama years. And so that has to be dealt with. What do you know, Congressman, about dealing with the so-called Clean Air Act under
the
EPA?
Clean Air Act, the Clean Air Act is absolutely on the radar of the administration of President Trump and the Energy and Commerce Committee this session. And as soon as we get through the first big point of business that the president promised the American people to repeal and replace the onerous Affordable Care Act known as Obamacare, you can better believe that we're going to be turning our attention once again to the issues of the Clean Air Act, the Clean Power Plan, and others.
Just real quick, and I know it's kind of a sidebar, how is that looking for today's votes? There's a vote scheduled tonight at 7 p.m. Do you think it's going to, do we have the votes to pass the replace and repeal bill?
Well, we do not right now, Chris. We've got an element of our conference that that continue to move the goalposts that make it difficult to get to a position. But Chris, we are all committed to doing what the president promised and what we have been promising for the last 6 years, and that is to give the American people more choices about access to affordable health care.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you don't want to talk health care on here, but let me just make this statement, and then we'll move on. There's a big difference between access to affordable health care and coverage. Millions of Americans have coverage that they can't use, because when you're paying $18,000 a year for a premium and $9,000 in a deductible, $27,000 out of your pocket before the insurance company pays a dime, that is not affordable health care. And that's what we're trying to remedy and turn the tide on and get rid of Obamacare and put the health care back in the hands of the American people.
And from all that I can see from our standpoint as an organization, we would support the bill as it is currently constructed. I think the House members have made good progress with the administration, and there's been good debate on this, as there ought to be. You know, I know that Mr. Murray, obviously, anyone who cares for his employees and their health care provision, that's somebody that has stepped right up to the plate, and I've heard him time and again on this broadcast talk about the concern of his employees like a big family. Mr. Murray, what are you looking at as the total picture here with the new administration? How are things are moving forward?
Obviously, we're all very optimistic. Chris, my daily reading has gone down 100 pages since Mr. Trump was elected, because I was having to spend all of that time daily to see where my enemies in the Democrat Party and any Obama administration were going to come at us next to eliminate coal mining and my employees' jobs. So my one benefit already is that my daily required reading has been reduced by 100 pages. But there are many things that need to be done. We have an action list out to the Trump administration. Some matters involve legislation, some involve just actions from his office. We're staying in daily contact. I'll be back in Washington myself next week to meet with senior folks in the administration. I've been there every week almost since the election to try to help guide through eliminating this destruction. But what's happened is people don't realize the laws of Obama are still in effect.
Right.
And there are timetables, and we're having more coal-fired power plants closed right now than ever. This past month, they have announced more coal-fired closures, which are to occur by 18, than in any month to date. So what we have is this Obama administration. He's gone, but his regulations are still there.
Right. They've not been.
The Democrats know what they're doing.
Yep.
When they're trying to thwart Trump getting his administration in place. And there's timetables on all of this, and these electric utilities are making decisions to close their power plants based on rules that are, frankly, illegal. We've filed lawsuits against them, but it takes too long in the courts. The courts are too slow. The system of checks and balances doesn't work. The judiciary branch is not giving proper oversight to illegal executive actions because the courts are too slow. So what Mr. Trump needs to do is recognize this and wherever he can, stop these regulations, call a timeout so the destruction can stop. Then we can start thinking optimistically about what the future for coal will look like. But right now, this regulatory rampage is in full gear and has not been stopped.
Well, that is important to note. Jim Martin, you've been in Washington a long time. Just what Mr. Murray has said, you understand the concerns about all that and how the political game has played out. Your thoughts?
Well, first of all, we want to thank Mr. Murray and Congressman Johnson for that legislation. Bill, that was a great piece of legislation. The EPA is a rogue agency, to address what you just said, Chris, and what Bob Murray is talking about. It's a rogue agency, and while the liberal press up here said, well, they've taken a sledgehammer to the EPA by cutting its budget by 30% and cutting out the workforce by 3,200 workers, hey, it wasn't a sledgehammer. It was a fly swatter. That still left 13,000 employees at the EPA. It still left them with about $6 billion to spend. And the fact of the matter is, they have to be brought under control. I think the entire agency needs to be dismantled. And let me just say one other thing. Bill Johnson, you're a hero of ours. That
yes.
HJ Res 38 under the Congressional Review Act, as Bob Murray said earlier, that's the first time under Trump. There'll be many more under Trump. It's only the second one, I think, since the act was enacted about 20 years ago. But let me say on a personal note, thank you, Pat Boone, for always being there when we need to reach out. And Pat moves the needle with senior citizens. He gets them to go into the voting booth and vote. And by the way, Pat did calls urging seniors to vote for Donald Trump, and while you're in there, vote down ballot, whether it's for Richard Burr in North Carolina or Pat Toomey in Pennsylvania and many others. Gentlemen, let me say on one other note, that stream protection rule, as Bill just said, it's badly named. I think the Attorney General in West Virginia, Patrick Morrissey, another great Attorney General, he said that rule allowed the EPA to assert federal authority over an untold number of small bodies of water, including roadside ditches. That's how asinine some of these rules are.
Yeah.
By the way, folks, my hometown is Hazard, Kentucky.
Yes.
I grew up there as the son of a coal miner. I had tears in my eyes when I heard that Fox News report.
Yes.
And the fact is, 90 coal miners went back to work in Hazard. A couple of those are my cousins. They're back in the coal mines where they are making a decent living again.
Well, that is awesome. Well, with us on the phone is Mr. Bob Murray of Murray Energy, Congressman Bill Johnson of Ohio 6th District, and Jim Martin, Chairman of the 60 Plus Association. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to be right back on the other side to continue our roundtable on the progress that coal is making back because of the new policies coming out of Washington. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Who's looking out for seniors today? It's not the AARP. AARP worked overtime to help pass Obamacare, the legislation that cut over $700 billion from Medicare. And AARP supports the death tax, which can rob families of over half their savings due to the death of a loved one. Seniors know that AARP would rather make millions peddling insurance products than support the policies that actually help America's elderly. That's why America's seniors count on the 60 Plus Association. For more than 20 years, 60 Plus has been fighting for the seniors that AARP has left behind. 60 Plus fought against Obamacare and continues to fight every day for its repeal in Washington. And 60 Plus is the leading national organization working to repeal the death tax once and for all so that families can pass down their businesses and farms to the next generation, not the IRS. Stand up for your values. Join 60 Plus today. Visit 60plus.org or call 703-807-2070. This message paid for and authorized by the 60 Plus Association.
Those serving in our military, they're the difference makers. Separated from family, enduring hardships far from home, sacrificing for their country while serving in a different country. Well, for those of us who support our armed forces through the USO, we get to make a difference too. Through the USO, we get to be the force that delivers the phone call between spouse and deployed service member. The force that brings newborn and new parent together through a delivery room video chat. And the force that makes sure our military, serving 7,000 miles away, gets to watch the big game from a USO center. We get to be the force behind the forces, connecting them to every comfort of family, home, and country possible. It's a good feeling to make a difference. Visit uso.org/force to learn how you can be the force behind the forces.
And we're back with our roundtable discussion on the progress that COLE is making, and now that there is a new sheriff in town in Washington, and that is President Donald J. Trump. With us on the line is the chairman of Murray Energy, Mr. Bob Murray, also Congressman Bill Johnson of Ohio's 6th District, and Jim Martin, the chairman of the 60-plus Association. Gentlemen, welcome back to the program.
Glad to be with you.
Well, let's get right back to it. Mr. Murray, in what we're talking about just before the break, there's a lot of work to do in Washington. And as you said, in fact, even as I was looking up the Clean Air Act before today's program, you go right to the EPA website, and there it is in its full gamut as to what the Obama years put together. So, you know, like you said, these restrictions on coal are still in place. There needs to be a lot of work to get done here yet.
Absolutely. We've just scratched the surface. The Trump administration must get its cabinet members in place and must start dealing along in conjunction with the Congress and Congressman Bill Johnson, who was the leader on the stream protection rule. I know will be there right out front to help our coal miners. I just wrote to another congressman this morning, Dave McKinley of West Virginia, on another major issue that he is handling for our miners. We got to get the administration in place. We've got to then look at ways to reduce this regulatory rampage of the Obama administration. I have 6 pages, single-spaced, in front of the Trump administration right now as to what I call my action plan
right.
That needs to be done. Some of these things can be done instantly. Some of them are going to take months to carry out. But we've got to move forward. Right now, there's just optimism. We need action.
Well, Congressman Johnson, I want to pick that up with you because we did have the resolution and, of course, the bill signing in the president's office, but there's more things that the president can do. What next up to help coal? And again, I mean, there's been, for the last 8 years, the policies under the Obama administration were literally directly a war on coal to decimate the coal industry and literally put those men out of work. Go on.
Yeah, I think you sort of named them a little earlier, looking at the Clean Air Act, the Clean Water Act, looking at the Clean Power Plan and others, Chris. Those are things that we're going to do. Keep in mind that the Congressional Review Act, though, will not be the vehicle that will allow us to do everything because it has a very specific window of opportunity, 60 days prior to the former administration phasing out, and 60 days after coming into session. So we have a very narrow window of opportunity. The founders and the crafters of that legislation, the Congressional Review Act, made it intentionally very restrictive because it is very, very powerful. So we can't go after things that are outside the window. And we're going to have to rely on President Trump to help us with colleagues in the Senate, because it's going to take 60 votes in the Senate to pass most of these things that are going to be required to restore the full trust and faith in America's coal industry.
Well, Senator Inhofe, with his interview actually the other day, he seemed more somewhat optimistic in the new climate. He didn't mention the 60-vote threshold. Does that mean a group of Democrats would vote with us on these measures, possibly?
I think so. I think you've got a number of senators from coal states that know that it's in their best interest, that not only do their people work in producing coal, but their energy is provided from coal. And I think you're going to see more and more Democrat senators work with us. But That's where having a new quarterback on the field and President Donald Trump makes a big difference.
Well, that's right. And, of course, the power grid and the generation companies, they've been struggling with the war on coal as well because, for instance, First Energy, that's heavily invested in coal, power generation at, as of over a year ago, they were 85% of their power generation was from coal. And, of course, I mean, here in Northeast Ohio, all over Ohio, for over 100 years, the coal mines have kept the lights on in our cities and kept the power going and kept us warm. It was insidious to see the kind of faulty notion that the Obama administration was weighing against a very valued resource and industry here in Appalachia. And, of course, the Democrats paid for it in the polls in election and in November as a consequence, Mr. Martin.
They sure did. And, again, I want to congratulate Congressman Johnson on using that Congressional Review Act. And let me just point out one other thing. That 60-day window is, of course, 60 legislative days, and there are certain ways to overcome that so-called barrier. And I know we'll work with you, Congressman, to get the regulatory tool placed in the act to restore a constitutional balance between the Congress and the executive. Because, Bill, you know, there have been regulations that they've never been submitted to the Congress for congressional review. They're in the thousands of regulations, many of them, of course, at the EPA. And I can assure you there are going to be more CRAs in this fight. We can anticipate that President Trump will sign every one of those, and I'm looking forward to it. Look, yesterday I was at a meeting of the Cooler Heads Coalition talking about the Clean Power Plan.
Yes, sir.
Led by our friend Myron Ebel. There were about 90 of us there. And there were a couple of issues came out of there. I wanted to share this with you today. I know you're keeping track of this, Bill, in the Congress. But President Trump recently, and this follows on the heels of your CRA, HJ Res 38, Trump has now promised a specific executive order to eliminate the excesses of the Clean Power Plan. Now, that order is ready, according to our sources at yesterday's meeting. It could be announced any day, probably next week. I think the president is looking for the right moment to get public attention thrust upon this. So that's a major, major move ahead. And we can only thank many people, including Bill Johnson in the House. But my heavens, that executive order is ready to go to eliminate the excesses of the Clean Power Plan. That's music to our ears for us boys from Eastern Kentucky. There are a couple of things they promised. President Trump has promised to end the international funding of the so-called climate change arrangements.
Mm-hmm.
And one other thing, you mentioned the carbon tax. You know, former Secretary James Baker under Bush and others and George Shultz, they've been talking about a carbon tax proposal. Well, the White House has let it be known that the carbon tax does not have a future in his administration. And as the congressman can tell you, that tax would be dead on arrival in the Congress if anyone in the executive branch even tried to put it forth. And thank you again, Congressman, for your CRA.
Well, and I think that's what you're saying, Mr. Murray, is these people on the left, they don't give up. They're going to, you know, first of all, they have all these policies still in place during the Obama years. There's so much to get done. You're expressing that urgency in Washington, and Godspeed to you as you get back there next week and talk to the administration and other officials. But the folks on the left never give up. They still are pushing these really ridiculous, faulty notions on global warming and climate change. And it doesn't stop them from trying to put these ridiculous measures in place. Your thoughts?
Chris, let me put this into perspective for your employees and for your listeners, particularly, who may not really know much about coal or care about coal. But let me tell you what this all means. Coal makes electricity at 4 cents a kilowatt hour. Windmills and solar panels make electricity at 26 cents a kilowatt hour. They cost almost six times as much as coal-fired electricity, and it gets 4 cents a kilowatt-hour subsidy from the taxpayer in that 26 cents. Natural gas-fired electricity has generally been 15 cents a kilowatt-hour and has averaged that over the last 10 years. It's very volatile. It'll go up and down. I have grew up very poor. My father was paralyzed in a mining accident when I was 9 years old, neck down. We had no income. And I have great compassion for that couple who's worked hard all their lives and put a nest egg together to live on, but they're right now, according to the government itself, paying out 22% of that nest egg for energy. That's electricity and gasoline. That mother who's raising children on her own, this single mother, another 22%. The 41 million poorest families in the United States average $1,643 in income last year. They're paying out 17%. We have an energy poverty problem in this country. And whether you care about coal or coal miners at all, you need to care about your electric bill and the destruction of the reliable electric power grid that we have always enjoyed under the Obama administration. And that's what this is all about, to turn this around. And we're optimistic it's going to get done, but he has to unravel. That is, President Trump has to unravel all of these misdeeds of the Democrats of the last 8 years.
Yes.
That have made our electric power grid unreliable and increased our electric power costs. Remember, in 2008, Obama himself said, your electric rates are going to have to skyrocket. Well, that's one promise he kept.
Well, you know, none of this is done in a vacuum. I'm so glad you brought that up, Mr. Murray, because not only on the federal level, but also on the state level with the renewable mandates that the state legislature enacted some years ago with a goal of 12.5% by 2025 for electric power plants to reach that by. And of course, this came with mandates and its subsidies. We've talked about that extensively on this program, on this roundtable. Those subsidies are basically coming out of my pocket and out of the pockets of families, seniors, those on fixed incomes, and that single mother that's raising kids in the inner city like you talked about. It's coming out of their wages to pay for wind and solar. They're not, you know, look, if they're going to enter the electric grid on their own merits as a new industry, hey, that's fine. But that's not how it's been. They actually have been getting federal tax credits. They've been getting renewable mandates, the subsidies from the state, and it's causing our electric bills to go up for seniors, those on fixed incomes, for families. Jim, that's why we've weighed in on all this. I sat in the hearing on Tuesday and, you know, down at the Ohio State House. Now, thankfully, in the House, it looks like it's going to move quickly. We've got some people to turn over in the Senate. Governor Kasich vetoed the bill back in December. Now, they've reworked it a little bit, made them more like goals for the power plants. But again, all of this is very disruptive to the industry because when they're giving this kind of leeway to the renewables of getting into the electric grid, it makes it, you know, it's not that base generation that's consistent, which it can be affordable for the power companies, whether it's coal or whether it's gas or nuclear, that's a steady stream. But the renewables are intermittent, and then they have to give deference in the grid for them to come in, and the whole thing really just becomes more expensive. And who ends up losing out? But again, families, the customer, you know, on the end of who's paying those utility costs every month is, you just talked about, Mr. Murray, and those on a fixed income, and that's our problem. That's why we're drawing attention to this. Your thoughts, Jim?
Hey,
well,
Chris.
I'm sorry, Bill. Go ahead.
Chris, this is Bill. I wanted to chime in on this because you said something that queued up a thought for me. You know, one of the things that lawmakers at both the state and the federal level need to recognize is that, you know, one of the impacts of on the coal industry, and we know that, is the price of natural gas right now. Mr. Murray has talked about that many times. Our coal-fired power plant certainly employs a lot more people than a gas-fired power plant, but gas prices are low right now. Number one, they're not going to remain low forever. And when that price starts going up, people are going to see that coal-fired energy is still the most reliable, affordable energy on the planet. But point number two, and this is what goes unnoticed so often, you can go into any energy company in the world, and you can see a map of America's gas pipeline infrastructure. You have some bad guys, whether it's terrorists or environmentalists or whoever wants to be disruptive to the American way of life. If they were to launch a series of attacks on key gas pipeline nodes and halt the flow of natural gas to those plants, you can't crank up another gas-fired power plant unless you can get gas to it.
Right.
And you can't haul that gas to it in a truck or in a propane bottle. Conversely, with coal-fired energy, if you have a coal-fired power plant that has a maintenance outage or has a some kind of attack or some kind of disruption to it, when you've got coal-fired energy powering your grid, you simply crank up another turbine on that coal-fired power plant somewhere else, and you can put the energy back out on the grid.
Mm.
That's why it is so reliable. There's a national security imperative to using coal-fired energy as well as a cost imperative.
I'm so glad you brought that up, because I know you've been sitting on committees in Washington and talking about the reliability of the grid and the threat there is to the grid and what that means for national security going forward for this country on multiple levels. I appreciate that. That was great input. Jim, back to what we were talking about, consistent with that, is the economics of it all, and it really comes down to the customer, because if it costs more for the power companies to be monkeying around with all these regulations, it comes down to the customer, doesn't it?
Absolutely does, and those seniors on fixed incomes, they pay a disproportionate share of their income right now on electricity because of things that Bob Murray just pointed out. These other renewable energy sources, six times the cost, six times as much as coal. And let me just point out, coal built this great country. King Coal produced the electricity that brought us out of darkness.
That's right.
My heavens, we're blessed with coal in this country. Someone said the other day, we've got 200 to 400 years of coal reserves in the ground. Let's go ahead and produce it. And the wind and solar is not getting us there. That destroys jobs. Coal has produced jobs. Coal made this country what it is. It's just unfathomable to me that this president came in and said, as Mr. Murray said a while ago, your energy costs will necessarily skyrocket under my proposals, one of the only promises that he kept. This president, though, Trump, he is keeping his promises. I've been in this town over 50 years.
Yes.
And too many politicians get elected. They say, I'll do the following. They conveniently forget some of those promises after they're in office. This man is turning this town upside down by keeping his promises that he made, not only to the coal industry, but to other industries just as well. And that's a breath of fresh air in this town, obviously, to have such a president. You know, there are really diametrically opposed points of view under Obama, beyond coal, the Sierra Club, the NRDC, George Soros, Tom Steyer, all those folks. Under Donald Trump, it's bring back coal. He said, we're going to turn the EPA from a job killer to a job creator. And you've got a guy there, Scott Pruitt, who says, I heard him at CPAC the other day, we're going to follow the rule of law. And he's got some great deputies, Andy Wheeler, a couple of others. And, of course, Bob, I know that Andy worked for you at one point. But, again, this is a Jim Inhofe, the former employee. Jim Inhofe has some great folks working for him. And of course, he flew Scott Pruitt all around the state of Oklahoma when Pruitt was running for attorney general of that great state. But I'm optimistic. Bob Murray is right. Right now, those minions at the EPA, they're doing everything they can to thwart Bob Murray and Murray Energy Company. Bob Murray, you're the last man standing in the coal industry. All these others, Peabody and the rest of them, took the easy way out. They filed for Chapter 11. We don't have time to go into all of that, but they're trying to come back now. They got rid of a lot of pension debt on their books, but that was not right for those coal miners that worked for them for all those years. We salute you, Bob Murray, for standing tall for coal miners. And one final point, Hazard, Kentucky, my hometown, I was reading that story where Carla Hill talked about at Feltner's Barber Shop. I know exactly where it is. Right?
I knew you'd like that, Jim, and I was wondering, that's your hometown, is it?
Oh, it's my Beulah, Kentucky. I was born in a little suburb, Beulah, a town of about 400 people right outside of Hazard. And Buchanan Coal Company was my uncle's coal mine many, many years ago. And, yes, I talked to a couple of my cousins in Hardbury the other day, just outside of Hazard, and they're going back to work. And they have optimism now. I could hear it in their voices, and they're thanking Donald J. Trump.
Well, that's just it. Having a president that's keeping his promises and beginning to work with Congress, that's got to be encouragement to you, Congressman Johnson. Your thoughts? Is Congressman?
Well, I am very glad that we've got a president that wants to work with Congress, and you've seen that in action, not only in the Congressional Review Act. Activity that he's done. He's signed a number of those, and the engagement on the repeal and replace of Obamacare. We have never, at least in my tenure, certainly we have never seen this kind of engagement. And I'm going to tell you that President Obama never engaged with his own party anywhere near in this fashion.
That's right.
So, this is a new day for America, and we got a new quarterback on the field, and the ball is moving, and we need to make sure that we keep it moving in the right direction.
You know, it's showing a lot of courage too. I mean, obviously, we've even had security breaches at the White House during his short time there, and of course, that's why we pray for our president. We have all of our folks in our network through the Ohio Christian Alliance, following the admonishment in 1 Timothy to pray for all those in authority. And we're praying for the president, his cabinet, our vice president, praying God's blessing on him and to give him wisdom and to give him courage for the work that he has in front of him. And God is hearing our prayers. And in fact, even some of the president's critics, their criticism of him is being turned back on them, which is really kind of interesting to see. So there's a lot to look forward to, and there's a lot of work to get done. And here on the state level with House Bill 114 reworking these renewable mandates, basically making them goals instead of mandates, we got a good sponsor in State Representative Bill Seitz and others working on that legislation. But again, we got to keep an eye on this thing going forward in Washington. Mr. Murray, how would you have us to help you out as you are working members of Congress and the administration on what needs to be done to help the coal industry?
Well, the first thing that needs to be done is your readers need to write to Governor Kasich, who vetoed a bill that would have eliminated the mandate for windmills and solar panels that cost 26 cents a kilowatt hour. It was an overwhelming majority of the House and Senate, but he vetoed it. There's another bill coming up now, and he should not be vetoing it. It is not in the best interest of that couple on fixed incomes, that single mom, anybody trying to manufacture a product in Ohio.
Yes.
That's the first thing. The second thing is we need to support President Trump. I have learned that he is a very sensitive man. He really is, under it all. He's a very caring man, under it all. The press images are not accurate. When you get to know the man, you get to working with the man. He cares about people, and he is a very sensitive man. And I want your readers to know that, because they will not get it from the media.
Mm.
Or actually from the mistakes that President Trump makes himself and some of the statements he makes. But under it all, I believe that he is a very sensitive man. They need to be demanding reliable, low-cost electricity. That's all they need to do. And it'll take care of itself over time. They deserve reliable, low-cost electricity. It has been destroyed the last 8 years. It's been a nightmare, and we've got to stop the destruction. There are regulations right now. I won't go into too much detail on this broadcast, but effluent guidelines, coal combustion residuals, you haven't heard of it. These are the things that are closing the plants right now. They're illegal rules written by the Obama administration.
Mm.
They've got to be stopped. Those two things alone are closing more coal-fired plants in Ohio than any other issue right now at this point, even the Clean Power Plant. So we need to just demand that from our government, reliable, low-cost electricity, that'll put it back to coal. They don't even have to mention coal. They deserve it. People on fixed incomes who have worked all their lives deserve every benefit that they can get.
Absolutely.
But I don't think they have realized the destruction to their lives and the cost of their lives of the last 8 years.
Well, thank you, Mr. Murray, for coming on again. This has been great. And Congressman Johnson, Chairman Martin, thank you all for joining us today on this informative roundtable discussion. We're going to have all the details up on our website at ohioca.org. If you missed any of today's program, you can catch the entire broadcast there, as well as some of the items of what we're discussing here, so that you can have some action items to contact your representatives and Governor Kasich. Gentlemen, thank you again, and God bless you all.
You have been listening to News in Focus with your host, Chris Long, President of the Ohio Christian Alliance. To learn more about the issues that matter most to you and your family, visit online at ohioca.org. That's ohioca.org. Thank you for listening. This program is sponsored by the Ohio Christian Alliance of Akron, Ohio.